This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Sam Raimi, great pleasure to meet you all. You brought us some chats. With me, Mr. Tobey Maguire is here.
Hello.
Along with the lovely
Here, do you want to put that
on? Great to be here, guys.
Anybody?
Thanks for coming.
I'll give it to one of the boys. Okay.
No, I think you're the middle. You're like the guy.
Here, Sam.
Okay, yeah, don't forget that. All of a sudden, we're off the set, and I'm the guy.
Well, in front of the press.
So, are you making an announcement today?
I'm having a baby. No. What do you mean? What do you mean?
We've been speculating about big news coming out of the panel that you're kind of.
Oh, you mean in regards to the story and the characters of the picture? Not interested in my personal life, then, I guess.
Oh, sure.
No, that's fine. That's fine to be that way. Yes, there's a big announcement that we were going to make today at the in front of the kids who come to Comic-Con. And that is that the movie will, one of the big villain that we have been expecting will be my mother-in-law. No, I'm joking, of course. Will be Venom. He's coming to star across from Toby in this picture as the villain, along with Thomas Hayden Church, who plays the Sandman.
But, you guys are like, we already knew that. You're like, oh, okay, cool.
Is that the big secret?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what we're basically going to reveal today. So everybody,
I thought I let that out of the bag a while ago.
You did. You hinted at it.
We always heard that you love the more classic villains and that you might not be so interested in doing Venom. What was it that made you decide to bring Venom into this picture?
Well, Avi Arad thought that who's really got his pulse on all the Marvel fans better than any head of a corporation has ever understood those people that are interested in the corporation's product. He really knows what those kids want. And he said, you know, you've had two Spider-Man pictures. This third one, there's so many kids, so many fans of Spider-Man want to see Venom. Even if you didn't grow up with him, they want to see him. So you've got the Sandman. That's one of your favorite villains. Why don't you bring Venom in also and make those kids, the fans of Venom, happy. So I thought that's what we should do. What's that? Well, now that I've seen Topher Grace perform him, I'm and saw what Alvin Sargent did with the script, he created a great character, really filled out Eddie Brock into a very meaningful character, and Toby has a great energy with him in the few scenes that they play together as competitors, and I really like him now. How different will he be than the previous versions we've seen? Now, what have we seen, again, you mean in live action, in movies?
No, I mean, in comics. You have the original, the opening one, and now the cartoon one, so you have lots of different things.
Well, we had a great design team on this picture, and led by James Atchison, our costume designer, working with a team of brilliant sculptors, artists, painters, and we studied all the different looks. So many different artists, I guess is what your question is all about, created different looks of Venom. And we tried to take the ones that we felt would work best for us, but also the ones that Avi felt were the most classic elements, and based it on that.
But I mean story-wise, because he had this cosmic, whatever, being the larger than life origin. So how do you make it more realistic in a Spider-Man?
You're right. That's a good question. There's a lot of fantastic elements about Venom that you could say are in conflict with the realism that we wanted to have in the picture. But we just said to ourselves, Kirsten and Toby, you'll have to do the heavy lifting here to bring it back down to earth, because there's this wild goof from outer space, and you're just going to have to connect us to the characters. I never said that, sir. I don't know what you're talking about.
Toby, so talk about the new costume. Is it a lot different for you?
Not really. Pretty much the same.
Just painted different.
I mean, the what it feels like and the material's similar. I mean, I think it's probably a little sleeker and sexier, but you know, kind of more like me in real life.
Sam, there's been some speculation about a third villain in the form, perhaps, of Harry Osborn. The Batman films faltered when they attempted multiple villains. How will this film pull that off? Also, with a love triangle introduced, you know, so many characters, how do you juggle that?
Well, Spider-Man comic books had all these characters and successfully interwove their stories. A lot of what we're doing is not introducing elements, like if Harry Osborn does decide to seek vengeance upon Peter Parker for the death of his father, it's certainly something that's been set up in the first and then second picture. This is more the conclusion of that. And as far as so we have less work to do in that sense of not just introducing all of these new people. And one of the other villains, we've tried to weave the story into Peter Parker's personal life in as important of a way as we could, in a way that hopefully will make more of the first two pictures, give us insights into what we've seen before. I think probably only with the Brock character is there a complete new introduction of elements into Peter's life. But that's okay, I think, because he can meet new people too.
Well, for Mary Jane, you know, it's... I never know what to say. Not give it away. I'm like, basically, she's still an actress. And, you know, you could see where it was heading towards in the last film with Peter. So, you know, it's emotionally much more adult and mature. And there's a lot more at stake because their relationship, you know, they're... together. It's okay to say, right? So,
sure.
really a good movie. emotionally, it's just there's a lot more at stake for all the characters, and I think that we've gone to like their relationships because they're older, have just developed more and become more complicated. So emotionally, it's a much heavier film.
You know, for me, one of the most important... There's obviously a continuity of character that you have to keep up. Peter Parker is Peter Parker, and so it's important to not just try to, like, create new kind of things for Peter just for the sake of that. But it is... I don't necessarily want to see the same scenes played out and Peter going through the same kind of things that he's gone through. So I think... that you know, Alvin and the other people who had input into Peter's story and what Peter's going through in this movie did a fantastic job, because as an actor, for me, it was like, you know, there was nothing stale about it. I got to approach it and got to do like brand new, really fun, interesting things for myself. And in terms of what the specifics of that are, you know, you'll see when you check out the movie.
Toby, don't you kind of delve into the darker side of Peter Parker? At least judging by the trailer, he looks a little different. He seems to act a little different, a little less vulnerable, a little less of a kind of a schmo that we don't want.
You heard that?
So, I mean, is that more rewarding to you as an actor? You're like, okay, I kind of sink my teeth into the dark side of who this guy is.
It was just because we've gone into some different areas that it was... new and fun for me without losing touch with who Peter is, and so I really enjoyed the things that I got to do in the movie.
For all three of you, is this sort of the completion of this Spider-Man story, whether or not there are more Spider-Man films or any of you are involved? Does this kind of bring the whole story to some closure?
Justin?
Me? Well, I mean, there's definitely, you know, a culmination. But you would have had to see the first and the second. And, you know, this definitely ties up some storylines. But if there are more stories to tell, that, you know, if there's
you know, if things are unresolved, then we will tell them. But, you know, it depends, I think, on if everyone's game and if there's a story to tell. Because if there's a good story, I'll be there.
Dan, can you talk about the casting of the new people, with Topher and Tom, helping them? And also, do you cast a redhead when Stacey to make up for the mom? You're ashamed of
balance. To make up for it.
Go balance.
What was that, sir?
Casting Topher and Tom's mirror role, and also casting when Stacey.
Did you cast somebody with red hair to make up for the cast?
Oh, I see. No, we didn't. No. We just cast the best actress for the part. Toby, our producer, Laura Ziskin, myself, Grant Curtis, just trying to find the best actress for the role. Best actress. Not someone that looked like Gwen Stacy of the comic books. Although, once the actress would have been cast, that would have been our immediate job. How can we make her look like the image that the kids have grown up with? But nevertheless, casting, we're just trying to find the right person who could make it real, take the dialogue and bring it to life, see things, not read it in the most unexpected way, bring some life to it, you know, make it interesting, exciting for me who was watching it, for Toby who was acting in it, for Laura who was watching it with us. That's really what the casting was about. And then the moment came when Bryce read the scene, one particular scene, and it came to life for us suddenly. And we all looked at each other and felt energized. It was a different thing than with Kirsten and Toby, because I felt something. We were after a different relationship, actually, there. But here, we were looking for a great actress, and then that's what seemed to jump out at us.
And then, Toby, I always thought of Spider-Man as kind of a dark character.
Looking for a great actress when you cast me.
I was also looking for a great actress. We were looking.
It's okay, you don't have to. I just wanted to present.
So I was saying, I always thought of Spider-Man as a very dark, almost character, almost like an anti-hero. And have you made a conscious effort to kind of go in the more dark direction in this one?
Well, that's a good question for Toby too, actually. When you think about it, it really is.
Will you ask it again? Because I'm not quite clear on what the question is.
I always thought of Spider-Man of all the different comic book heroes. He's almost like an anti-hero. And have you made a conscious effort to kind of portray him as more of a dark character?
I mean, that is sort of part of our storyline. But in terms of my perception of it historically, that's what I'm trying to get from your question. You're like trying to bring the history of your experience with Spider-Man into how I'm portraying the character. What?
I'm from the 60s Spider-Man comic.
Right.
Very cynical and very.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it like that. I didn't really read those comics. I mean, I read a few years of them from the 60s, and I didn't really read them quite like that, so I'm not sure. I have to think about that.
Sam, can you talk a little bit about the stints only in Los Angeles, and I think going to Cleveland? Is that just for economic sake, or is Cleveland, does Spidey have to say Cleveland?
No, Cleveland was wonderful to us. They really put the red carpet out for us and allowed us to do a tremendous amount of shooting there, so we're very thankful to that city. But what happened was the sound stages are in Los Angeles because we're at Columbia Pictures, so we shot right in the back lot, Columbia Pictures, in Los Angeles. All the stage work was done there, or 90% of it. And then New York has always been the city, as you know, of Spider-Man, so we went to New York to shoot all the location photography. Now, there is some car action in the story. There's a car action sequence, but we couldn't ask Manhattan. Manhattan couldn't give us, 10 straight blocks of city dedicated to our car chase. But Cleveland could, so we sent a second unit there under the direction of Dan Bradley, a great stunt coordinator and second unit director I've worked with before, to shoot this car action stunts there. So for 10 days we were able to monopolize these streets. That's why we shot in Cleveland.
Kristen and Toby, how did it feel to be turned into action figures?
She doesn't really look like me, so For me, I had I don't have like a weird connection like, oh, whoa, that looks so much like me. So it's, you know, it's nice that if girls want to buy the Mary Jane doll, but I don't really feel like any connection to speak of to you.
You know, I guess it's like a little surreal or something, but I haven't actually like gone to the store and seen them on the shelves or anything, so I think that might be an interesting experience, but I've just been like looked at it like this and okay. I don't know.
I'm still waiting for my action figure, by the way. But don't worry about that. What was that though? On the Evil Dead remake, we've been so busy. I've been so busy on Spider-Man that I haven't even had time to think about it lately. But what we want to do with this company, myself and my partners have, Ghost House Pictures, is find the right director who can really reinvigorate that story and really spook the heck out of the audience. And that's what we're waiting for. One day, we're hoping.
Tony, speaking of being dead, Bruce Hamilton's Spider-Man 3 again.
He plays a cameo, yeah.
There's a character about his cameo.
He's got a new character.
Stereo?
Yeah, that's the rumor.
We can't say.
can you talk a little bit about the technological evolution on the special effects? And the first one, the second one was a DVD. One thing is special. Especially in Spider-Man, you see me in light.
Well, I think what's different is we had new challenges this time. We had to bring about the Sandman. And we've got a great special effects designer in Scott Stockdyke, who was one of the two fellows who did the first two Spider-Man pictures, along with John Dykstra. And now he's got the job alone. We've got a lot of the same animators. We've replaced a lot of them. Others have moved on. But the core team is there, and we've tried to build upon it. So we've become better at working with animation. I've learned a lot over the last 5 years. It's like directing animated picture after animated picture. You start to understand what's working, what's not, and why. But as far as the technical aspect and what the new hurdles are, it's really about bringing about, it's for us, Sandman to the screen. How can we make it believable to the audience? Not just fantastic, but believable. That this fellow could turn into sand and become this substance and still be a human being. It's really without feeling the hand of the manipulation of the artist all the time, but just getting into the dream of it and getting sucked up in the story. So it's about technical expertise and artistic expertise on the behalf of the teams of artists that we have working on those effects. And they've made a lot of new techniques available to themselves. They've developed some new programs, written some new programs. They've taken some existing software and combined it in new ways that we haven't seen, new applications for it, and a lot of just ideas that they've did some groundbreaking on and are still groundbreaking on. We still aren't sure we can do it, actually. Venom is less of a technical challenge and more of an artistic challenge in trying to capture the spirit of this very powerful, somewhat spiderized, graceful but animal, not Spider-Man style of movement. That's more about capturing a dance form on screen.
That's Sam. Sorry. Have a new composer on this film? I was just wondering why the switch, and will he be using Danny Elfman's themes?
Right now, I believe that I haven't yet spoken with Danny, but I'm hoping that it will be Danny Elfman and working in conjunction with Chris Young.
And Sam, what does bringing a big film like this to Comic-Con do for you as a filmmaker? You know, what does it achieve? I know you've obviously been to so many of Comic-Cons. But
I haven't. This is my second one.
Toby?
I guess your question.
Screw you!
Nicholas Cage just told us he's not a ghost writer for Beat Spider-Man. What's your opinion?
One look, he says.
Yeah. One look. Yeah. We can play it for you if you want.
I don't think that deserves an answer.
Toby, can you talk about doing some of the physical stuff of the movie? Did anything push you to your limits?
Is your back okay?
Yeah, my back's fine, thanks. I mean, you know, I enjoy doing this stuff, and I do the stuff that I can do and that's safe, and, you know, I don't know, it's an interesting part of the job. I think, you know, when I watch the stuntmen do the really, really crazy stuff, my mind gets blown, and I go, I can't believe they do that, and, you know, it's really amazing. And this is me saying this is a little ill-advised, you know, that most actors, I don't understand how they do this. The actors come in and say, I do all my own stunts. And by the way, I just want to tell you guys now, any actor who says they do all his own stunts is not telling you the truth. You know, unless they're like jumping over a little gate or something.
Sam, you're bringing Gwen Stacy into this element. She's a character
whose name is Phil.
So are you killing her or marrying
her? I wouldn't dream of it, sir.
Can you talk about the
villains may have something else in mind, though.
Can you talk about the challenges of adapting this story, this beloved story, for the screen, not only, you know, twice but three times, and has the challenge increased as you've reached this third installment?
Well, what's been easier each time is getting to know the family that we work with and really trusting them to the point they become complete collaborators, from Laura to Alvin Sargent, I mean, Laura Ziskin, Alvin Sargent, Toby, Kirsten, James Franco, Rosemary Harris, the directors of photography, the animators I was speaking of, the editors. There's so many people that make this movie. Unlike a lot of smaller films where it's one person, it really is, or one person and the actors and the writer and the producer, you know, a tiny little core, there's 1,000 people making this. So it's gotten a lot easier because we've gotten the system of knowing each other, knowing how we work together, trusting each other. That has made everything a lot easier.
Sam, I know that you had Dr. Kirk Connors in 3 pictures, and Avi Arad said that the villain is one of his favorite, the loser's one of his favorite villains. Are we ever going to see Dr. Kirk Connors sort of going down that path?
I'm not at liberty to say, sir.
Sorry. I was going to ask, I talked to the group before and asked if they'd like to see a crossover with any of the other characters in the Marvel Universe, and they said, oh yes, we would. What would you like to see as a crossover character in the future?
Crossover with the Marvel Universe?
Yeah.
Well, if that were possible?
If that were possible, what would you like to see? And Toby, would you
prefer? Direct the two of them, Stan. Who would it be? Marvel 2.
I guess somebody that would be interesting to see in a scene of Peter Parker interacting with, you know, in their alter ego. I'd have to think about that. I don't want to just answer that casually. It's a great question, though. Somebody that represented some sort of conflict or some other side of life. What's your favorite one?
Oh,
wow.
Because
he's so cool and Peter's so square? I think it had to be, somebody that created some sort of like serious conflict with Peter's whole point of view on what this job of superheroing is for me, probably. It could be a lot of things. That's one idea, though.
Sam, in the previous movies, you've done some visual nods to like covers and panels out of the comic books. Do you have any specific shots that kind of mimic certain things?
There's in this story, we're less specific, but we did try and stay very true to the Venom comic books. When they describe his birth, the creation of Venom, we did try and stay true to the writers and the artists' ideas of how that happened.
Anything to say for Aunt May in this story? There's some words that she might not be really interested in. I'm not expecting you to be confident on that, but are there greater stakes for her? Because she's been thrashed around on the exams. Have a nice way to, get in the way.
What do you think, Tubby?
I don't know. I mean, at some point, you know, Bruce Campbell told me that Sam likes to torture his actors. Oops. And I thought...
We're out of time. Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.